Hey everyone, my name is Michaela Price, and last week I sat down with the front woman of Beach Bunny, Lily Trufilio. She's a recent DePaul grad, and Beach Bunny just dropped their first studio album, Honeymoon. They also just signed with the label Mom and Pop and are playing Coachella this April. We talk all about that and more, so stay tuned. I'm here with Lily Trufilio of Beach Bunny. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You just graduated DePaul, and yeah. Congrats.
Thank you.
And you started Beach Bunny while you were at DePaul, right?
Yeah, that was fall of freshman year.
How did being in college and creating a band change over time and, like, influence your writing?
Oh, that's a good question. I think when I first came to DePaul, like, everyone I met was somehow involved in the music scene. So naturally, just as time went on, I got exposed to more local music. And I think that helped me get into the local scene, too, especially with, like, house shows. And then Anthony and Matt, who are two of my bandmates, Matt plays guitar and Anthony plays bass. They also went to DePaul.
And how did you come up with the name Beach Bunny?
As you might be able to tell, my name is kind of hard to pronounce. So I needed to find something that was Googleable. And I thought Beach Bunny sounded cute, and I kind of wanted to make, like, surf pop music, and Beach Bunny slang for a female surfer, so kind of fit.
Does it bother you when people call you Beach Bunny?
It's just kind of funny.
Yeah? Yeah.
Especially if it's just, like, a random person. They're like, hey, Beach Bunny. I'm like, hello?
Does that happen a lot?
Here on DePaul campus, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, or on the train sometimes.
Do you remember your first show that you've ever had?
Yeah, I think it was at the Bottom Lounge. It was a pay-to-play show. I had to sell, like, 20 tickets, or else they wouldn't let me play. And the guy coordinating it was kind of, like, a psycho. The show went fine. yeah, I think that was sometime fall of 2015.
Do you remember the show that you played at the Ashbury Coffee House?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That was so long ago.
Because I don't know if you remember me telling this to you. We had a class together. It was like, I think it was writing for 14 East.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I tell her? And I was like, hi, I was at your show. And you're like, oh, really? I don't know if you remember that when I brought that up to you. It's okay if you don't.
I didn't feel right now.
That's funny.
I know we've bonded over music before, though.
Yeah. But I just wanted to bring that up again to you because that night going to that show was, like, one of the highlights of my high school career.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And, well, my friends were playing as well that night.
Yes.
And for some reason, they thought that we looked alike. And I think it's the bangs and, like, the round face.
Definitely the bangs.
And, yeah, they're like, oh, my God, we thought you were on stage for a second. And it was just so funny. And I went with, like, this guy that I, like, had a huge crush on. But, like, was with someone. And then the drummer of the band after you, I ended up dating that guy for, like, 3 years. And whoa. I just see that moment in time, like, at that show is, like, this, like, it's symbolic to me. And I just wanted to tell you that. And it just means a lot to me now. And
my mind is blown.
Yeah, it's just, like, a moment that I always look back on.
Yeah. So. That's crazy, too, just because that venue is, like, kind of deeper in the suburbs.
It is, yeah. It's in Willow Springs, if you guys don't know where that is. It's, like, southwest suburbs. Mm. Yeah, it's just a coffee house.
Such a spontaneous decision, too. Like, I think a friend that had lived in that suburb was like, oh, okay. Have you heard of this place? And I was like, no, I only know Chicago. So it was ranged super fast, so that's crazy that it lined up that way.
Yeah, really.
It was, like, meant to be.
I recently went to the panel that you were a part of, mm-hmm. Why Songwriting Matters?
Yes.
That's what it was called. And you had told the story about your song 6 Weeks, which I hope you're not tired of talking about because I think it's a beautiful story. And I just wanted to connect that kind of to talking about, like, the beginning of you playing shows and how you were at Bottom Lounge and then Ashbury. So what did that song 6 Weeks do for you?
Sure. Yeah, at the time, I had this crush on this guy, and it was during the 6 weeks of winter break at DePaul. So when I was bored at my parents' house, I kind of needed to channel that. And I also just wanted to be creative because I had nothing else to do at home. And yeah, and then my neighbor heard it and she was like, you have to put this out. And I was super hesitant because I felt kind of insecure about it. But she kept pushing and I'm so happy I put it out. And then I feel like that just kind of cycled into like me getting more shows because I had music to show promoters. And I think that was super pivotal in my career.
So how long had you been playing music before that moment?
My friend Rachel Vogridge and I were in this little duo called Fingers Cross. It was like...
That's really cute.
It was cute. It was just like little folk songs. I think we had 3 or 4 songs and then some covers. And we played that during the summer. But then when I went off to college and she was still in high school, it was kind of harder to plan shows. So that just sort of naturally segued into Beach Bunny, where I kind of had this gap of time where I was like, I need to be creating something.
So how is it to be under a label with people like Courtney Barnett and Flume, I believe?
Yeah.
Among others?
That's insane. Yeah, the label is crazy. It's super bizarre because when we made the album, there wasn't any intention to even sign. I was kind of anti-label for quite a while. But Mom and Pop are super artist-friendly and really value like the creative aspect. I knew they weren't going to step on my toes, so it kind of seemed like the right choice. And at the same time, also like graduating, not really having a job right away, they provided financial stability. So that allows me to just do music full time, which is kind of what I've wanted to do always.
How was it graduating, that process and touring while in school, juggling all that? And I'm sure people around you or maybe a voice in the back of your head saying, oh, go and get this 9-to-5 job or like do something while this is going on. How did you balance all of that?
I don't know if I did.
Yeah.
Especially when it was like the last semester and we were recording the album. It was like I had just gone through an awful breakup. Then graduation was coming up. And then it was like, okay, we need to make this first album ever. It was a super crazy time. And yeah, there was a ton of pressure to just kind of immediately get a job. And I definitely did try to do that. It just didn't work out during that time period. And it was pretty weird how like a couple months after graduation, it sort of segued into music as a job. But if you had told me that in May, I would have been like, no, that's not going to happen.
The last time that 14 East interviewed you was with Madeline Happold.
Yeah.
And that was right before you played Riot Fest, mm-hmm. which was your first official festival.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. 2018, okay, Riot Fest. 2019, Lollapalooza. 2020, Coachella. How does that feel?
Oh, my gosh. It's insane. Especially the Coachella one. Like Lolla, I'd been kind of pushing for, like, every year since we started, anyone we had any connects with, I was like, that's my end goal. I just want to play Lollapalooza. Like, if I do that, I've peaked in music, I can die happy. That's fine. But with Coachella, our booking agent, Greg, I was just walking to get coffee, and he called me, and he was like, don't freak out, but I have a surprise. And I was like, what's up? And he was like, you're playing Coachella. Just so randomly.
Oh, my God.
Didn't tell me he was seeking it out or anything.
Oh, he didn't. Not even that.
He only told me after we had got it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, what? And then he's like, I'll send you the poster right now. And I was just screaming in the phone. I probably looked crazy on the street. It was nuts.
Did you ever think that you would play Coachella?
No. No way. Honestly, like, that was so far ahead of what I thought we were capable of. Like, it wasn't even the back of my mind.
What I noticed about the 4 singles that you've had off of Honeymoon so far, I feel like there's more of a feeling of confidence.
Yeah.
And even though you may be singing about similar things, I personally feel this, like, closure in these songs, even though you're still talking about promises left unsaid, like, unfinished. But there's something about the songs that feel more confident to me as well.
Yeah. No, I would agree, honestly, as far as, like, especially the closure aspect. I think a lot of the songs were written to, like, try to process the emotions. So after the song was done, it was kind of like a little therapy session. And then just kind of closing the chapter, being like, I had to say what I had to say. So that's cool that resonates.
Oh, absolutely. And I was trying to put it into words, and I still can't. And I guess that's my... Also, in pop in general, I often probably too harshly critique it for being too cheesy mm-hmm. or too surface level. And there's something about your music that is not that.
Well, thank you.
And I wish I had the words to explain why. And I feel like a lot of your music is very vulnerable, and yet you're not giving away too much at the same time, mm-hmm. but it's just enough for people to latch onto it and be like, that's exactly how I felt. And I don't know if you know the answer to this because you're writing it, but what do you think you do to get it right? And, you know, this is my opinion, and maybe other people may not agree, but I feel like you've just found this, like, magic balance of being just vulnerable enough, but also keeping it poppy and dreamy and light at the same time.
Well, thanks. I mean, oh gosh, I'm not really exactly sure why. I think maybe because I feel like I'm usually writing songs for myself more than anyone else. So maybe the fact that I'm just being really honest, people can tell that that's genuine more than just like a money grab. And then I do love pop music, so the structure of the songs is usually pretty pop-based, but I think just being, like, exposed to punk and emo and Chicago and different genres, there's, like, a flair of that, too. I don't know, though.
I remember you saying in another interview that you have a very wide variety in audience members in, like, emo and punk and other genres. And I remember I was at one of your shows at the Subterranean, mm-hmm. and there always seems to be a mosh pit forming. And then that was the night that someone jumped off the balcony. Do you remember that? You maybe didn't even see it. But oh my gosh, people are just like crazy for you to jump off the balcony. And I was like, where'd that person go? They're fine. But
I was like, are you good? Yeah. You don't need to do that.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. No, that's insane. I think the mosh pitting, this is just my assumption. I think because we've played with bands like Pup and Remo Drive that have that super high energy crowd, when they stick around and want to come out to shows, they just expect it to be the same energy and try to meet that, which is funny because if you just heard the songs online, you would not expect that. But it's amazing that people are down to like throw bows and open a pit.
I think that's also great because, I don't know, artists can always be so different live mm-hmm. and that you can bring these two different kind of worlds together, whether you're just going to listen like on your phone or be in concert.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you ever listen to your own songs?
I think right now I've been listening back to Honeymoon just because it's been a second. And maybe just to encourage myself that they're not that bad because I am like kind of nervous about releasing it. But as far as super old recordings, not really. I feel like every 6 months I'll just be like, oh, I wonder what this song sounds like on the record. And it's usually fairly different from what I remember because I'm hearing like the live version in my head.
And you also released your own solo project mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was cool. I mean, I think I was just sort of making it for fun. Like, it's definitely just like bedroom recordings and demos. This year, though, I'd really would love to maybe like still continue making solo stuff, but with like a producer or something like that and make it nice and polished because I'm kind of limited with what I can do on my own.
Where do you see Beach Bunny going in 5 years?
Oh, gosh, that's a heavy question. Well, I hope that we're all still together as a band and still making music and opening up for bigger bands and on our, I don't know, fourth record, something like that. That'd be cool. I think we're just open to anything at this point because we've kind of gone past what our original like markers were. So just open to any like possibilities for the future, honestly.
And what's it like knowing that your song has been used in TikToks?
Oh my gosh. TikTok is like the weirdest phenomenon. I don't know if I'm old or if I'm just not up to speed.
I'm the same way.
I understand the concept of it and I understand why people like it, but I'm just not on TikTok. So when that all blew up, first of all, I had to like figure out what was even happening. And then also it's just very interesting seeing how people use the song in videos. And I do think it's kind of brought us a bit of a younger fan base. Like, there's some younger girls that now come out to shows, which is cool. But at the same time, I don't know. I wish I understood it better.
In another interview that you did, you talked about your song Dream Boy and how it reminds you of the color blue.
Yeah. I'm not really sure why.
Do any other songs remind you of certain colors?
Sometimes, but I wouldn't say I have, like, synesthesia or anything like that. But I have heard that artists do. I think it's more just, like, certain themes of songs I connect with. Certain colors, which I kind of reflected with, like, the different single artwork. But it's hard to explain. I don't know why certain things seem that way.
Do you have the same artist for your album artwork?
Most of them I did, and then...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, like, it takes me forever. I wish I could get more into art, but right now I'm just kind of limited to doing, like, one cover every 2 years. But then the cover of Prom Queen, our friend Graham Nesbitt did. And same with Sports. So he did those two, and I did the others.
Yeah. Because you're writing about breakups, is it ever really hard to go back to those songs? And do you feel yourself grow and change by revisiting those and, like, not feeling those feelings you once did?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's both aspects of that. I think after recording Honeymoon, like, the breakup that I was experiencing was pretty fresh. So in a way, when I was listening to those songs, it was pretty sensitive. And, like, when we were on tour with Pup, we had to play some of those songs live. And that was honestly kind of hard to do when normally on stage I'm not really thinking about lyrics. But then, you know, as time passes, wounds heal, and now I can sing everything, and it feels like an old version of myself. Like, I don't necessarily relate as much to the lyrics now, which is good in a way.
Does it ever feel uncomfortable that maybe your close friends or your friends know who you're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the person I've wrote the majority of the songs about, he definitely knows it's about him. And we share, like, a similar friend group. So it has caused some, like, definite awkward moments because we're friends now and we all share, like, we're in similar social settings. And yeah, initially, sometimes listening back to those songs or playing them live, if he's there or friends are there who know about the situation, especially if it's fresh, has been quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow. Why did you decide to call this album Honeymoon?
I think most of the songs were written kind of going into a honeymoon period in a relationship and then kind of leaving it and, like, problems arising. So that's sort of what the general theme of the album is.
And what's your typical writing process?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like I write songs super weird. Instead of writing just melody or just lyrics, I'll write, like, the melody for a chorus, then the lyrics for a chorus, and be like, all right, I have this little puzzle piece, and then be like, a few days later, try to find a verse that sort of clicks and sort of mash them together. Certain times versus, like, let's say I have, like, 5 recordings of verses, I'll be like, okay, which one of these demos would sound good with this chorus I made? It's kind of just putting the puzzle together.
This isn't off of Honeymoon, but I love the song Sports.
Thank you.
And how you made that metaphor. Was that something that just came to you? Were you playing tennis and you're like, oh my God, this is like my relationship? How did you get to that?
I did play tennis in high school. That was, like, super passionate into that, which is funny because I feel like a fraud singing that song because I actually did play a ton of sports in high school. But I guess just maybe having that background, and since we were talking about, like, it was mostly about mind games, so I was trying to think, like, all right, what games are related? And I didn't want to do a super obvious metaphor, so I guess just doing something that, like, related to my personal experience felt right.
And off of Prom Queen in general, other interviews have said this as well, how it's even more vulnerable than mm-hmm. some of your older music, and you hit on other problems of growing up and, like, body image issues and whatnot. Was it a hard decision to write about that?
Yes and no. I mean, I think releasing it was hard because I just didn't know how the audience would interpret it. And the lyrics aren't exactly, like, don't feel this way. They're kind of just, like, exaggerating the issue. So I was hoping that no one, like, younger would interpret the lyrics wrong. But in a way, it was easy because it was, even though it was coming from like my past as well, there was someone in my life that was close to me that was going through some major like body issues, and no one could really get through to her just by talking to her alone. And she was involved also in like the modeling industry, which sort of promoted that, especially like that her like financial income was dependent on it. So I kind of wrote her that song almost to help her get through it and maybe be like a nice way of kind of like pushing her in the right direction. And it actually did end up helping. So that that was probably like the highlight of all of Beach Funny was that she got help. Yeah.
So many people go to your music to feel validated, to feel better, to know that they're not the only one. What are some artists that you go to?
Oh, this is easy. Favorite band is this band called Hippocampus. And I think that they were kind of my gateway into wanting to be in a band. I saw them extremely randomly, like live, going into freshman year of college. And I feel like their music has just always kind of been something that bounces me back when I'm feeling like low. It just has like a super happy undertone to it. And they're also just lovely people. And then in high school, I listened to a ton of Marina and the Diamonds, and I liked how vulnerable she was in her lyrics. And I think she related to a lot of similar things I was experiencing in high school, and just hearing her sing about it like helped me get through it. So it's cool that I can do that for anyone else.
Yeah. Looking back, what moments do you think you will pinpoint as, oh, that changed the game for me? Like, you know, with 6 weeks, you're like, oh, once I post or published that and like sent it out into the world, this what led me to my next step. Are there any big moments that you can look back on and be like, wow, without that, like, I would not be here?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think one major one was honestly coming to DePaul. I was going to go to Loyola till the day of where you had to make the decision. And I don't know why, but I felt such this intuitive feeling inside that I wasn't supposed to go to Loyola. And I've only felt that like a few times in my life, like been that certain. And I like came home and I was crying. And my dad was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I was like, I can't go to Loyola. I'm going to go take a tour of DePaul. Like, I'm going to go on the train right now. Like, just don't worry about it. Like, why are you freaking out? And I was like, there's something off. Like, I don't know what it is. And I went to DePaul, and saw a tour, and I was like, okay, this is going to be my home for the next 4 years.
Wow.
And I think that was so important, because without meeting everyone that I've met, I don't know if I would be actually doing music still. Another moment that comes to mind was summer 2017. Shortly after we formed as a band, we got an offer to play with Remo Drive, which is a Minnesota like power pop band. And we opened up for them, and I think that was such a game changer, because then we ended up touring with them and getting exposed to like this whole entirely new scene that completely opened the door for us. Like, I feel like after that show, there were so many more opportunities and shows coming in. And then I guess Lollapalooza, just because that was like a dream come true.
Do you or have you ever dealt with imposter syndrome?
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to get better at it. But yeah, I mean, even this year, 2020, but like 2019, yeah, I definitely was feeling that, and was feeling like a ton of pressure to just kind of be like, hey, you know, music is cool, but this is what you're supposed to be doing, like get an office job. Or I felt like even though I was making money from music, that it wasn't like real money for some reason. I'm not sure why. I think just because working a music job, like the hours are super inconsistent. Like some weeks you might be working like 22-hour days, and then some weeks you might not have that much going on. And not having that schedule made me feel like I wasn't doing anything or wasn't working hard enough.
This is a little random, but because your name is Beach Bunny, I wanted to ask you what your favorite animal is.
I do love bunnies. I don't know if these are actually animals, but I love snails. I had some pet snails at one point. But I don't know if they actually count as animals.
We'll count them. Yeah. You know, for this. Yeah. Yeah. So what are you doing for Valentine's Day?
The album is dropping that day. It's called Honeymoon. And we're playing an in-store at Reckless Records. That should be pretty fun. And then we have our release show at the Metro February 22nd. And then we go off for tour.
And if we can't make it to the show, where can we find the music?
It should be on all streaming platforms, Spotify, YouTube, you name it.
Thanks for spending time with me, Beach Bunny.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.